Blog Talk Radio. Located between W Street and Chicago Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C., on Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, outside lot, near the famous D.C. landmark, the Big Chair, celebrating literacy, authors, Father's Day, and community. Meet the authors and buy their books. Listen to panel discussions on publishing a book and more. There will be fun for the whole family. Music, face painting, open mic, karaoke, vendors, and more. Last I heard, It was 49 of us authors there. So you don't want to miss this event. Come on out and support us. For more information, go to www.lamontcarey.com. Hope to see you there.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And that was Denise LaSalle, Come to Bed. When is the last time your old lady told you that she ain't going to roll her hair up, ain't going to take her makeup off, she just want to get in the bed with you? Sounds good, doesn't it? But what happens when there's a dysfunction, a sexual dysfunction in a relationship? We're going to be discussing that tonight. A few announcements I'd like to make. You just heard the book fair is this Saturday. So anybody that's out there that's listening, family, friends, the public, please come down and support this event. It's free. The authors didn't have to pay for their tables, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys down there. It's Saturday, June the 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come on out and support this event. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Danny. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am just fantastic. We had a terrible thunderstorm here. I think, was that yesterday when we had that thunderstorm? What's today? Wednesday. Okay, it must have been Monday. Honey, it was raining cats, dogs, rats, frogs, and everything.
Yeah, we had that up here too as well, so yeah.
I said, oh my goodness, is it ever going to stop? But, you know, we didn't, well, it wasn't too bad in the part of Maryland that I'm in, but a little ways down, they got hit kind of bad, you know, so I'm grateful and blessed, you know, that we didn't have it that bad up here because last year, my basement flooded because the electricity went off, and I have a sump pump. And that's all I was praying for yesterday. I said, Monday, oh, please, please, please don't let the electricity go out, because I can deal with the rain, the thunder, the lightning, and all that kind of stuff. But when the electricity goes off, it's a whole nother ball game, okay? So, you know, as long as it rained and carried on like it did, and fortunately the electricity did not go out, so we didn't lose the power. My basement didn't flood, because that's a mess when it didn't. Like, I've been living in my house for about 12 or 13 years, and so far it's flooded twice. No, three times. And I'm not looking forward to it again. You know, so I have to get a generator. So if anybody out there listening who would like to donate a generator to Gail Johnson, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. And I'm serious. If you have a generator that you would like to donate to me, email me, and I'll even come and pick it up, as long as it's within the vicinity, the DMV. Now, if you got one that's outside of the DMV, you're going to have to bring it to me. You know, but if it's one in the DMV, I will come and pick it up. But that's a donated generator, because I don't have the money to buy a generator with, not at this particular time. So, like I said, if anybody's out there got a generator they'd like to donate, donate to Gail Johnson. Email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Okay. Thank you very much. Good evening, Maria. How are you?
Good evening. I'm good.
That's good. Yeah, because I, you know, like I said, as long as it's storming and I love thunderstorms. I really love them. But I'm just, you know, afraid of the lightning. But, you know, I can put up with that as long as it's not coming in my direction. But, you know, like I said, when the electricity go off, it's a whole different ball game. You know, so.
The thunder was just so loud here, it shook the building.
Well, you know,
and
that's happened here before.
Up and down the streets, I start, you know, we're going off. It literally shook the building. I got up and I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. So if I hang up on y'all real quick, it's because something strange happening. I don't want nothing to blow out.
That happened here one time. The thunder was so loud until it sort of like it was like almost as if it was rumbling through from the bottom of the earth up. I said, oh, my goodness. But I love hearing thunder. I love it, love it, love it. So, yeah, the louder the better, you know. But tonight's topic is about sexual dysfunctions in relationships. And we can thank Rhea, my co-host, for this topic. And sexual dysfunctions in relationships are caused by a number of factors. So we're going to be discussing some of those factors, and hopefully we'll get some callers to call in if they have a story they would like to share or to give us some information or, you know, just to have a comment. But, you know, that's the topic tonight that we will be discussing. And so, Rhea, since it's your topic, darling, we're going to let you start it off, and then we're going to chime in.
Well, part of the reason that I wanted to discuss this is because last week a question came up in a group that I'm in, and the question was from a female. And she's been with her guy for 2 years, and having sex with him really hurts her.
Mm-hmm.
My immediate response was that she needed to use lubrication.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back just my common sense, which may not be common. But, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of the way a woman is built.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that we can all take everything, but we're built to adjust. We're
mm-hmm.
built for elasticity and things such as that. So my only response was that she needed to use lubrication. And then later on, I further indulged in a one-on-one conversation with someone else in the group, and because I wanted to ask a couple of questions. Is there foreplay in part? Is there foreplay involved? Sometimes we do have to get ready, you know,
right.
And I was curious about that part of it, and so we dove further into it. What kind of lover was he? Was he a considerate lover? Was he, you know, I mean, because if she's not ready, she's not ready, and he should know that. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And he should be able to determine that. Plus, if it's hurting her, he feels that. He has to feel the reaction from that. And if he doesn't, either he's not paying attention, he don't give a damn, or something's wrong.
Right.
You know, because there's got to be flinching. There's got to be something. And like I said, I was just curious about that. And then in the past, I've had a conversation with a gentleman that was impotent. He had erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And he blamed that as the main reason why his marriage was falling apart at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And during that conversation, I didn't delve off into it. I only listened to what he wanted to share. I wasn't
mm-hmm.
able to ask him any questions to further understand. I did some research on my own a little bit, and I learned some of the things and some of the side effects and things such as that. But he wasn't receptive to any information. So that's one of the reasons I want to discuss it, because it's a topic that I don't know a lot about, and I was just curious about knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So the young lady who was having problems with her partner being too large. Now, as you mentioned, possibly lubricant would loosen that up some, you know, because just like when you need lubricant for different things, when you're putting a nut in a screw, that's to make it going easier. And, you know, so I would think that maybe she needs some lubricant, or maybe she has to adjust to it. And then again, he may be doing it rough. He may not be considerate to how she's feeling. You know, then she may not even be expressing it to him. Because if you don't tell a guy that, hey, that hurts, that doesn't feel good, he's not going to ask you, and certainly he's not going to stop. You know, because I've had times when I would have to push, you know, on a guy's stomach, and he'd say, well, what's the problem? It hurts, you know. So then that's right then and there. He lets him know that, hey, you're going to have to adjust it. You're going to have to do something, you know, to stop this pain. You know, then because if you don't do it, if you don't say anything about it, they will continue to do it. Because men, they're not, how can I say this? When they're making love, it's something different going on in their brains other than, you know, what's going on in a woman's brain. Men, they're just basically thinking about getting the nut. You know, getting that good feeling and this and that. When we're thinking about how good it feels and we love this man and we don't want to just stop and this and that. Not to say some men do too, but the majority of men, basically, you know, they want to hurry up and get a nut and call it a night. But you have to have that communication. And if she's been in a relationship with him for 2 years and this has been going on for 2 years.
Exactly.
Well, something is not right, because obviously there's no communication going on there, and then she's not too familiar with, as far as when it comes down to the things that you can do to make sex comfortable. You know, it seems that she's not knowing different little techniques and different things you can do to make it comfortable. And number one, when a guy is too big, that's when you use lubrication. And it's always good for women to use lubrication, period, because of the simple fact when sometimes it gets dry down there, from that friction it'll get dry. But if you're lubricated, and when you with a smaller guy that has a smaller penis, you don't have to use that much lubrication. But a guy that's, you know, oversized, well endowed, that's hurting you, you need to use a good amount of lubrication to ease up that friction of it going in, and that snug feeling, to, you know, just give it a little, make it a little looser, you know, so to speak. Because I've been there, you know, and I you know, I let a guy know in a minute, hey, raise up. Don't pound on me. And so a lot of guys, they like to pound on you. And they actually think that feels good to you, but to pound on somebody, doesn't feel good to me. Now, some other women, they may enjoy that, but I don't enjoy the pounding, you know, because, and especially if it's a well-endowed man, all he's doing is pounding up against my bladder and giving me a urinary tract infection. You know, so don't pound it, you know. And I love intimacy. I love it to death. But there are ways to do it, to enjoy it. And it can be good or it can be bad. It just depends on how you and your partner are doing it. And if you don't have no communication going on, you're telling the guy that it's good when it's not good, that's not good either. If it's not good, you let him know, so you can say, well, you know, do it like this. You know, when you do it that way, it's not good. Do it like this. And eventually he's going to learn your body, and he's going to do it that way because he knows that's how you want it done. That feels good to you. See, because some women, they just, and some women, I know some women haven't even had orgasms until they've been in relationships for maybe a couple of years, because they don't know what an orgasm is.
I know women who have never had them, and I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah, that really surprises me that, you know, when women say, well, I've never had an orgasm, you know, that's really surprising. And that lets me, well, that tells me that there's a lack of communication going on there too, because if a man asks you, did you come? That's what they generally say, did you come? And she says, well, I don't know. What does that mean? You know, because the very first time I had an orgasm, I didn't know what it was, you know, because I had been just engaging in intercourse and not being satisfied, not having orgasm. Then when I got with somebody that was considerate of my feelings and made sure I had an orgasm, I said, wow, I've been missing this, you know. And then sometimes it takes you turning yourself on, because nobody knows your body better than yourself. So if you're down, if you're masturbating and you have an orgasm, you know that's supposed to happen when a man is down there as well. From the friction, from your clitoris and your uterus and your G-spot, if you can do it to yourself, a man is supposed to be able to do that to you too, and you get that good feeling from it. So you let your man know that this is how I want to be satisfied, and a man is supposed to satisfy his woman by any means necessary. If he lick it, stick it, whatever, you know, that's what a man is supposed to do, because we satisfy men all the time, regardless. You know, if we're just laying there, they still have their little ejaculations and their good feelings, and, you know, it's a done deal. But see, we have to work at it, you know, and a man has to know how to help us work with it and to make sure that we have an orgasm. And when someone's in a relationship, say like if your husband becomes, he suffers from ED, erectile dysfunction, some women, you know, blame themselves for it because they really don't know what's going on. And it's a lot of reasons why men suffer from erectile dysfunction, a lot of reasons. They could be sick. It could be from medication, from smoking, from drugs, from their diet. It's just a list that goes on and on and on that will cause a man to have erectile dysfunction. And then sometimes when a man can't perform, it may not be because they're suffering from erectile dysfunction. Also, if you're with somebody who doesn't turn you on and you're trying to have sex with them and your penis keeps going down, then it's best for you to get up. It must not be the person for you. You know, because I've been with guys that, you know, I just had to ask them, you know, I don't want to do this. And I've had guys say it to me. And simply because I didn't want to do it with them. So, you know, you have to also want to be intimate with the person in order for the sex to be good or to be satisfied. So, and then women, you know, we suffer from sexual dysfunctions as well, because when a woman goes through menopause, a lot of things change. Sometimes we don't even want to be bothered. You know, your libido gets low. You've lost your estrogen. You know, it's a multitude of reasons why women suffer from sexual dysfunctions as well. I remember one time when I was in a relationship, a long-distance relationship, and I, you know, would go see my friend like every other weekend, and he would come here every other weekend. So it was my weekend to go see him. Why was my cycle on? I said, oh, my goodness. So you know what? I called myself being slick. I went to the doctor, told my doctor that. I said, I had been bleeding for a couple of weeks or whatever, so I told him I really wanted to stop bleeding, so he gave me some pills to take. So I took them, and I stopped bleeding. You know, that was a good thing. When I got to New York, when we went to bed that night, I could not feel anything.
Oh,
nothing.
Wow.
And it was from the medication. I'm serious. It was from the medication, and that's what happens. Sometimes medications will cause you to lose feeling, you know, like I said, if you're diabetic, high blood pressure, any types of mostly any types of medications that will mess with your sex drive. You know, so and it's kind of unnecessary for a person to have to take something to have an erection, such as Viagra, Cialis, and all those different things, because they can not only can they cause you to have an erection, but who wants to have a hard on for 4 hours? Then you go to the doctors, and you know they have to stick a needle in your penis.
Oh my God!
Yes, yes, to get that blood out, because that's what happens. Also, it causes blindness, stroke, death, all these things just to have a hard penis.
Well,
and
I mean,
people
some,
go through
some,
those. Huh?
Some, I know when I was looking up some of the causes for it, and stress is a cause too. Stress.
Yeah.
Can be, but stress is an indicator. Stress can kill you. Stress is an indicator of a whole lot of things. We, as we women know, stress can bring your cycle down early. Stress can make your hair fall. I mean, stress can do all kinds of things. But stress is, can be another reason too. And sometimes trying too hard, could be a reason. But I'm 50. And I know my body will be going through the change soon or whatever. And because my mom had a hysterectomy at 33, I have nobody that has been around me that has experienced that. So I'm going through this blind. And sometimes it, when I sit up and think about it, it scares the hell out of me. Because it's like, okay, what's going to happen? My biggest fear is them damn night sweats.
Oh, child, those aren't nice sweats. That is night hell.
I feel like bugs crawling on me. And Lord, I will never sleep.
That is night hell. Them night sweats are no joke. None. Even in the day, because sometimes I have hot flashes that I be just, oh, my goodness. And this guy, I had a, when I used to have hot flashes at work, I would fill a surgical glove with ice and keep it with me and, you know, put it in my little hot spots, like on my wrist, my forehead, my neck, and my arms area. This guy had the audacity to say, you know what, because he said, because he asked me what was wrong, I said, I'm having a hot flash. He said, a hot flash? I said, yes, a hot flash. So he said, what does it feel like? I said, it feels like I'm burning from the inside out, and that's exactly, it feels like you're on fire. So you know what he said? I can't believe that. I wanted to punch him in his throat. He couldn't believe it. And you know what? I really wish that men could experience some of the things that we go through, you know, because they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue because menopause causes a lot of things, a lot of imbalances. Some women go through mood swings. Some go through crying spells. I went through my crying spell when I first started going through menopause. I cried for 2 weeks straight.
Oh my goodness.
And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I even went to a psychologist because I couldn't work because I was crying. But I, in order to keep my job, I had to see a psychologist. And I'm sitting up there crying to him. And, I mean, it was just, and he's asked me, I said, I don't know why I'm crying. And I'd be talking to my mom on the phone. Next thing I know, mom, I got to go. What's wrong? I'm getting ready to cry. Sitting in the back, just crying, until finally I spoke with my sister. She said, girl, you're getting ready. You're going through menopause or getting ready to go through it. See, people, it affects women, some women differently. That's how I, you know, started going through it, just crying for 2 weeks. Then sometimes I would have mood swings and, oh, it was just a hot mess. I mean, and my daughter, she got the blues of it because she would know when my cycle was getting ready to start. This was before my cycle had stopped. She would always, we'd be talking, and she would know by the tone of my voice, and she would say, okay, Ma, I'll talk to you later because it sounds like your cycle getting ready to come on. And that would be it. I'm telling you, it takes you through these changes. But by the same token, I did not lose – my sexual desire. As a matter of fact, for some reason, it would seem like it was more intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seemed like my sexual desire was more intense because I also was going through my sexual peak as well. You know, women start their sexual peak when they get in their 40s. And I started going through menopause, I think, when I was like 40. But honey, I'm telling you, it was like, oh my goodness. And and there's some women that was going through it. They was telling me how I just don't like sex anymore, you know. And they tell me I haven't had sex with my husband and this length of time, and he's getting mad and he's staying out all night. And I think that men should be a little bit more considerate, because if I had a husband and I'm telling him, you know, baby, I'm sorry, but tonight I'm not feeling like it. You know, I'm going through the changes. So, you know, just this cuddle or whatever. You know, a lot of men use that as an opportunity to go out and cheat when their wives are going through menopause or when their wives are sick. And that's not fair to a woman, because a woman sticks by a man more than a man would stick by her. So, you know, just have that conversation.
Now, let me tell you, we was having a conversation in this one group, and the comment was made that, okay, you know that 1 week a month that you really, I don't want to be touched, you know, I'm supposed to be, you know, whatever. This one
right.
man said, hell, you got three other hoes. And I'm like, excuse me. I told him, I said, see, that's when you get in trouble. That's when you get damaged and when you get hurt. And he said it point blank. He said, you got three other hoes. He said, don't, but he said, what did he say? The red train, what did he say? The something don't stop no show. And I was shocked.
Wow.
I was sitting there like, and I said, is that the, but these guys are the average age. Is probably between 25 and 35. So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, do they not know no damn better?
Well, you know, I don't know if you've noticed it for yourself, but the times when I would get really horny is like 3 days before my cycle and the 3 days after my cycle. That's when you'd be ovulating. And, honey, I just, oh, my goodness, just seemed like I want to just go for it, though. And then, you know, and when my cycle's over, still it's, you know. But I've never experienced sex while my cycle was on. Number one, it's not clean to me. Then number two, it just would make a mess, you know. So I've never done it, but I know. Huh?
I said, it's very messy. I don't think nobody wants to go through that. That is a messy situation. But
oh, well,
I'm sorry.
He
wasn't going in my anal, so I'm sorry.
Right. Well, I've heard of people having it when their cycle was on. But I just can't, because it's just too yucky and messy and, no, if you can't wait until my cycle.
It's messy, but I think the better time to do it, if you're going to do it on your cycle, is like in the shower, because, you know, water stops the flow as a little bit of it, it can be. But, you know, everybody's different, of course.
right, but
it's supposed to help the heck out of your, if you cramp.
Your cramps,
ease your cramps wonderfully.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, I know.
But I would never know that, because I've never done it. But I do know that when I started going through menopause, for some reason my cycle was different, and I had cramps like I don't know what. I mean, it was when women go through menopause, it ain't nothing nice. A girlfriend of my daughter's went through menopause when she was like in her 30s. She went to premature menopause because it can take you any time. And she lost her hair. She just went through it, lost her hair. She was moody, you know, stuff like that. But it doesn't, you know, it takes its toll on women differently because some women claim that they never had a hot flash, but I can't believe that. You know, I don't know, but I have them. I'm not going to lie about that. I have hot flashes. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to have them, but hopefully one day they will go away.
Wait a minute, hold on. Wait, back up. You scared? Scared the heck out of me. You still going through hot flashes?
Of course. Yes,
oh,
darling. And I'm
God.
Just waiting for
just
the day when
me.
I. Yes, yes. I'll be 60.
Jesus.
64. I think 64 this year, 63 or 64, one or the other. And I'm still going through them. I have a sister who's 70. And she says she doesn't.
God.
She's not having hot flashes. But, honey, I'm telling you, it ain't nothing nice. And don't have a hot flash when you're taking a hot shower. Honey, I took a hot shower one day and had a hot flash and almost passed out.
Now, I do know a lady who that happened to her.
Not
she had a hot, she passed out and hit her head on the tub. And she was
I hadn't heard
me
get out of there.
Yeah. She was laying there bleeding. And it just so happened, something happened and somebody noticed something was strange. Oh, she didn't pick up her morning paper.
Mm.
And one of her neighbors, because she was a person of, a habitual
habit.
Person, and she didn't pick up her morning paper. And so when he didn't get an answer on her door, he immediately called her daughter. And she fussed, but she came over. And if she hadn't came over, they told her a little while longer she would have bled out. She hit her head on the tub.
Right. Because that had happened to me. I was in the shower, then all of a sudden I had a hot flash. I got so dizzy. Felt like I hurried up and jumped because I was in the downstairs shower. That's you can just step out because there's no tub down there. And I stepped out in. I had to immediately lay down. I just felt like I was going to pass out. And I said, oh, God, please don't let me. Then I felt nauseated. It was just, yeah, them hot flashes are dangerous as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't know they last that long, but
honey, I'm telling you. And then sometimes I don't have them for a little while. And then I say, "What? I ain't have a hot flash yet." And then next thing, here they come. But at night is the worst. It feels like someone poured water on me, and I have a fan and air conditioning in my room, but I have a fan that I fan myself with on the that's laying next to me on the bed. And honey. Even when I'm in my sleep, I turn over and get that fan and start fanning and kick that cover off, and I sleep naked. So, I mean, it's just these hot flashes. And these men, y'all better be a little bit more compassionate to us and treat us really good because, you know, you're going to go through something as well. I got a little something that I want to read here. It's a myth. And it's a man who says, when I get hard, she says it doesn't. When I can't get hard, she says it doesn't matter. She must be lying. Okay, the truth. In surveys that have asked women how they feel about men with erection problems, most say they wish men wouldn't become so obsessed with the situation. For most women, a man's lack of erection is less of a problem with than his anxiety, depression, anger, confusion, and emotional withdrawal because of it. Erection matters to women, largely because it matters so much to men. Women know that if a man can't get it up, he's going to be miserable, which affects her. When a woman says a man's lack of erection doesn't matter, what she usually means is that the couple can still have sensual fun without one, that she can enjoy sexual satisfaction without one, and that things are likely to be better the next time. So what do you think of that? Is that a true statement as well? Because you can have sensual satisfaction without penetration.
I don't know. I mean, I guess this is more of an individual thing, but I think it does matter because it has to be frustrating at some point that, you know, you used to get it and, you know, he was okay and he had this problem and we all understandable. Of course, we're women, so we're a lot more nurturing and a lot more understanding, but I think deep down inside it does matter at some point because you want to feel that feeling that you had before because you might not get where you want to get to because of that problem. And, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, there's a lot of other ways that you can do it, but, I mean, you want to eat pussy all day? Like, I mean, come on. He ain't going to, not every man is going to be willing to do that, and, you know, that's great, but, you know, you want to feel something, and, you know, some people, some guys aren't tuned to bringing other things to the bedroom, like a or something like that, so I think it matters at some point. To me, I think it's a myth at some point. You know, everybody is different, though.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Rhea?
I think it also depends on her. I think the case is almost an individual. It depends on their situations. Now, I'm going to talk about me. All that other stuff is okay, but I'm a penetration person, so I could see that potentially being an issue down the line because that other is not going to satisfy me like that other would. If I had to pick one or the other, I'm going to take penetration all day long. You know what I'm saying? That
right.
The other is like I said, that's something I can do with or do without. However, I've never been in that situation, and so I don't know because I do know I do feel as though he would be more important, but we will also work to hopefully correcting the situation. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So so we will be moving toward doing whatever we have to do to rectify what's going on. Because usually it's either, unless there's something physiologically that's wrong that can't be corrected, then it's usually corrected through changing lifestyle, you know, diet, sometimes a change in medication, because the medication does that a whole lot to men. Lack of medication sometimes does it as well because it's a very big side effect for what I was reading in some of the medications that involve men, especially if they've had any heart problems or if they have blood pressure.
Right.
Those things, they usually almost run hand in hand. I can see over a longer period of time how that could potentially interfere with the pleasantry of you know, your sexual interaction. I can see where that could possibly be, like I said, like over a long period of time. But, you know, the interesting part is what we're talking about is some of the things that, some of those medications that men take in order to give them erections, they can't take them with some of the exact reasons that causes it. You just see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, even
right.
if you look, when you look at the, like Cialis, they said don't take it if you have a heart problem or a clotting and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And some of those
right.
are the exact reasons that causes that.
Mm-hmm.
So I over a long period of time, I can see where it could potentially cause problems. And then, too, I also know, especially because of my own life experiences, that adjustments can be made for whichever direction you want to go in if you really want to be with that person.
Right. That was going to be the next thing I wanted to speak about. Now, what if he, you know, you're in this relationship and you love your husband, you don't want to split up, you don't want to leave the marriage, and what if he brought in a sexual aid, such maybe as a hollow dildo, to wear while he was having sex with you, or if he had a penis implant?
Oh, so they do
or,
make those. I was wondering, so they do make those.
What, hollow
yeah.
dildos for men?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let
they
me tell
do
you
because
I'm curious.
Why?
We were talking, when I've been thinking about this for the last 3 days. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, okay, suppose it was something that a man could put on him that would allow him to fit inside of it. This is what I'm saying to myself, right? And
mm-hmm.
it had openings in it so he could actually see it. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
I was wondering, I said, damn, if that's not out there, that'd be a hell of a convention. Invention, you know, get so I'm sitting
well,
there
yeah,
saying,
yeah,
wait a minute. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, they do. Because I've sold quite a few of them. They it's hollow, so you know, because it's basically for men who are not average size, because it's basically an average size dildo, and it's hollowed out, so his, you know, his penis can go in there, and then it's a strap on, you know, just put it on and work at it from there, you know, because there are aids and things that you can use. They also have a thing where you can put it around your chin, and it's a penis, and you could eat her while, you know, working this penis in her as well. There are different aids and things that you can do if
oh,
you
wow.
want to stay in your relationship, you know, and keep it going. But, you know, if a person just gives up and say, well, I quit, I can't do this anymore, and, you know, we're going to have to get a divorce, and, you know, that's kind of sad, especially if you love this person and you are willing to work with this person and to accept this person bringing, you know, something in the bedroom. Because, you know, some guys really don't want to be involved with the things that it can enhance their sex life, you know. And if he comes to you and say, well, look, babe, I love you, and I bought this dildo, I want to use it on you, blah, 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 blah. And if that works for both of y'all, then, hey, you saved your marriage. You know, and that beats taking things that are more harmful to you than that are good for you. It's good for you for a minute, but who wants to have a penis hard for 4 hours, then have to go to the doctor and get a needle stuck in it? And, you know, who wants to go through that? You know, and then I'm wondering if they, when you know, because I really have to do some research on this. When they take that Viagra, do they actually have a orgasm? Do the men have an orgasm, or do it just be hard? Do either one of you know
well,
anything about that?
The only guy that I was with one time that used it, he was just hard. Like, he literally never came. It was just hard. So he was like,
right. See, that's another
hard.
Thing.
I didn't
mm-hmm.
with him. Now, I'm not saying that it's not possible, but with him, it's not like that. It was like straight hard. And I was like, well, damn, is you going to ever come? And it was just like, he never came. It's like, well, you know,
wow.
no mattress. We ain't about to do this all night. Like, listen.
Oh, you know. No. And see, that's something else. I could, right. Now, if I'm going to have a marathon of sex, a night of sex, it's going to be, you know, we're going to take a little break and get back to it, but if you are constantly pounding me, laying on me, humping me, oh no, no. And I wouldn't even want anything like that for my mate to go through, because that can be frustrating too. You know, you're just humping and humping and humping and humping and humping and not getting anything, and then, oh, no. Mm-mm. No,
I mean,
go
like
and
a,
get
it's,
one of those.
It's definitely hurtful for him, because it's like a constant blue ball for like 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
Like,
I'm going to definitely
it,
do some research on that, because
you're not doing anything. Like, I believe it's more painful when you're not interacting than when you're interacting.
Wow.
So that Viagra is definitely no joke, so
I don't know
yeah,
what he took, but I talked to a guy who took something once, and he took it, because first of all, he was too damn young to be taking that, first of all. He took it because he wanted to go, like you said, on this marathon thing, which is crazy to me to just go straight, whatever. But anyway, he said that was the worst experience of his life.
I can imagine.
He said because he had no enjoyment. He said at one point, he said, I couldn't even feel nothing but the fact that I was hard. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, it was so funny because and when he started telling it, his whole face distorted. And you could see he was mentally kicking himself.
Wow.
Because he's trying to keep up with this bra. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, and he said that was the worst damn feeling he's at. But, and his biggest problem, he don't sleep on his back.
Golly.
And he happened to sleep on his back because it didn't, you know, go down. And he said, like, even in the middle of the night while he was trying to sleep, he felt himself up because that's what it, and I'm like, oh, my God. He said the most miserable thing he ever wanted to do. He said he would never do that again. And he did it on the advice of somebody else.
That's I'm going to have to do some research on that because I was just wondering about that because it says if your penis stays hard longer than 4 hours, what is your penis being hard all that time for?
Exactly.
Once you have an orgasm, it goes down.
Yeah, it goes down.
Oh,
right.
Lord. That men have to be crazy. No way. If I was a man, I'd get a strap on and call it a day.
Well, you know what? It makes me really wonder. It almost explains why it causes problems in other areas, because can you imagine the amount of your blood, their blood that is concentrated in that area? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's
right,
got to put a strain on other parts of their body because it's almost like it's concentrated in that area. That's where it's driven. Or that's what the function is. So other things have to be suffering. That's just crazy for me. But
that's why you can have a heart attack
lady.
Too. Because if the blood is leaving your heart that fast and that for that length of time, then you can possibly have. That's why they say you can have a heart attack.
Exactly. I know of a young lady who told me that she knew of someone who had an erection for 8 hours.
Oh,
I didn't know what they
Lord.
Did. I didn't know what they had to do. I didn't know nothing about the sticking to take it down. She said, but they had to go to the doctor. The reason they had it so long was because it happened that night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 8 hours past the time he should have had it. It happened that night, so he had to wait till the next day. He didn't want to go to the emergency room. He wanted to go to his own doctor. So he had to wait till the next day when his doctor's office opened up at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. That's why he had it for the 8 hours. And she was telling me about that, and she said you could see the misery that he was in because it impeded with his walk and everything. Everything is like you had to pay attention to that. And some people, they make, you know, little jokes out of it. But just imagine if you are a well endowed male, you get sticking out longer than your body is.
Yeah,
it's not funny, but I'm just saying that in my mind.
That's scary. Let me tell you something. Okay, I was leaning over my desk. I opened my desk drawer to get out an ink pen, and I was just going to make a mark and put it back in the drawer, so I didn't close it. But I couldn't see something on the computer, so I leaned into the computer to try to see something. Girl, I closed the drawer on my breast.
Oh, my
goodness. Can you imagine what I was going, because right that instant, it's shit. And then I'm like, I can't open the drawer because my mind is not functioning. Can you imagine somebody walking and running into something or hitting something or bumping something or getting too close to something, and God forbid you close it. I mean, all that kind of stuff is scary to me. And it's like, wow, that almost to me is of the same man of the reason why I never used those gum things on my children, because they said those children was chewing their tongues off and didn't know it. Oh. You know, stuff like that. When you know when they tease him, that
The little the toys,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And no, the ointment that you put the numb
the
gum.
Ointment.
Yeah,
oh, okay, right.
The ointment that you put to numb the gum, they were injuring themselves. Exactly.
Mm.
Because they couldn't feel that what they were doing. And I know somebody who actually, if you look in that person's mouth, a piece of their tongue is gone because they were having oral surgery and they used it and they didn't know they had bit themselves.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, you know, that kind of stuff scares me. So I can only imagine what his whole has to be thrown off.
Equilibrium. Mm-hmm.
Everything. Yes, everything has to be thrown off.
Well, I don't know. It's crazy to me. Another thing I'm going to read, it says, myth. If I can't get hard, she'll leave me. The truth. Women rarely walk out on men because of erection problems. They're more likely to feel the problem is their fault, that they're unattractive or undesirable, or that the man has lost interest in having an affair. Couples rarely break up solely because of sex problems. If you develop an erection problem, chances are she won't leave you. She's more likely to want to help you resolve it. So what do you think of that?
Like I said, if there's love involved, and the reason I say that is because it's almost like, especially listening to people talk nowadays and things people say, and I just don't know how true it is or if it's some kind of fear there or whatever, but if there's love involved, then I do think she will stay around and want to work on it. But 9 times out of 10, she's going to think it's her as opposed to him anyway.
Yep. Yep. And then, you know, you got some men that will try to make a woman believe that it's her instead of him.
That's
true. You know,
to
save face, you know, because they already know what they can and what they can't do. Then they'll tell the woman, well, you know, maybe if you lose some weight, or maybe you wore more makeup, if you did this and you did that, and instead of being honest with this woman and telling her, well, I'm experiencing a problem here, you know, but we can work on it if you, you know, we stick together and you, you know, you help me with it, you know. But it's a sad thing when two people will break up because of, you know, a man not getting an erection. But, you know, like it's stated, women, we basically try to stick by a man. You know, some men try to stick by a woman when she's going through her little changes. Then you got the men who just are so quick to leave because that's what they do. Those types of men do. As soon as you have a hot flash, they out of there. You know, as soon as you have a meltdown, they out of there. They can't understand that it's just something that's temporary. It's just something that we have to go through in our life when we get up in age. You know, it's not something that we volunteered for. It's not something that we asked for. It's not something that we wanted. It's just something that's a part of life that we was dealt, and we have to deal with it. And our husband, lovers, significant others, boyfriends, they should be there to deal with it with us as we are there to deal with them. And I have another one. Okay, myth. With age, all men develop ED, erectile dysfunction. Truth. Aging brings erection changes, but that doesn't mean ED is inevitable. Review the study cited earlier in this chapter. Erection bulkiness is common, but even among men over 70, severe ED affects only a minority. A minority, okay. On the other hand, as men age, their penises generally require direct stroking to become and remain erect. Erections take longer to rise and need more fondling to do so. with age, men often develop medical conditions that can impair erections, but ED is not a normal part of aging. Well, that's what they said. And it requires direct stroking. So if that's the case, why don't these men just let their partner stroke them until it gets hard, if it takes them an hour or whatever, opposed to taking Viagra and getting it hard and then they can't? That's a waste to me. As far as I'm concerned, I think when it's not useful, because if it's just because it's hard and you're using it, you're not getting anything out of it. You know, so I just feel that before my husband or my man couldn't get an erection, I'm going to stroke it or do whatever I can basically to try to get an erection, or like I spoke earlier, of getting him a strap-on. Because that causes frustration, stress, and some more things. Because when you're making love, you want to get something out of it. Men and women, you make love for a reason, because it feels good. Now, if you're getting all, pardon?
No, no, I said you also want your partner to be getting some out of it. And if your partner doesn't seem like they're enjoying it, it can distract from you also.
That's true. That is true. That's what I was going to say, because you're having sex and his penis keep going up and down, he's getting frustrated, you're getting frustrated. So maybe you just need to stop and say, well, you know, we'll try this at another time, opposed to keep doing it, and then you just frustrate, both of you becoming frustrated and irritable with one another.
Yeah.
So the thing is, if his penis keeps going down, maybe you need to talk about it. You find out what's going on. Maybe it's because maybe you have put on a few extra pounds, you know, or maybe you do need to put on your makeup. You know, maybe some things he needs you to do to get that excitement in him. You know, because I knew with this one couple, he liked his wife to be dressed up when he came home from work. I mean, yeah, when he came over where he liked her looking maybe like a hooker, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be on like butter popcorn. See, maybe you need to, seriously, because some things turn men on that will keep them stimulated, some things that will get them stimulated. You know, sometimes
you know,
you have
if
to
the average man came to his woman and told her that, first thing her man would go all kind of play. Okay, who the hell you been dressed like this? Well, I got to dress like this. I mean, I'm laughing at it because it's funny on that regard, but it's
right
communication. You're
right, and that
correct.
Right, and if because that's just like what turns me on about men. I love a man who has a hairy chest. When I see a man with a hairy chest, woo, my secret garden gets wet, you know. So if a guy there, if I'm married to my husband, then all of a sudden he shaves the hair off his chest, and he did this in the shower. He comes in the bedroom. I'm, you know, all is in my mind just seeing this nice hairy chest, and he comes in the room and his chest is clear. Oh no, I'm gonna be, I probably would just be like, what in the world? Wait a minute, what? I don't think we would have sex that night because, number one, I was turned off. You know, but I'm going to let him know from Jump Street, baby, I love your hair on your chest. Please don't ever cut it off. You know, so those are things that you need to communicate with your partner, things that, you know, because he may say, well, I love your breasts. You know, I love your big breasts, and I like this, and I like that. You go get a breast reduction, and there it is. You know, you have to keep these things going. If your partner loves them, don't worry about them. If he likes you being 500 pounds, then be 500 pounds. If he likes you butt so big, tell him when you turn the corner, your butt's still around the corner, keep that butt.
Now, don't say that, because then you had these women out here still getting these damn injections like they're foolish.
No, I'm not speaking. I'm not speaking of the injections.
Tomorrow, talking about they want butt shots.
No. I'm not even speaking about the butt injections. No, I'm speaking of the natural butts. But I'm just exaggerating when I said like it'd be around the corner. But you know, some men like women with big thighs and different things like that. You know, and you know, if your man tells you I love you just the way you are, then you stay that way, because number one, he's the one that loves you. You don't have to worry about nobody else. If somebody's talking about you, hating on you, let them know, well, my man loves every inch of it.
I know that's right.
You know, but some women, they get inferior, and sometimes men will beat up on women verbally, you know, telling them, well, you wasn't like that when we hooked up, and now you're all ugly and fat and all this and that. Well, she's fat. If she's got ugly and fat, then maybe you need to walk around a track with her sometimes. Maybe you need to join the gym with her. Maybe you need to start cooking her food healthy for her. Now it's your turn to take care of her. Get her back to where you want her. You know, and some women just go through a lot of things, especially women who have babies. Some women put on that baby fat and it never comes off. Some women put it on and it comes off. You know, so you can't call your woman fat right after she had your baby. You know, and call her ugly because she took all her makeup off. You knew what she looked like before she put that makeup on.
Mm-mm.
You know, but yeah, it's just so many different things in a relationship that causes it to break up. And sex really shouldn't be the cause of a breakup in a relationship. At least I don't think so. Because it's just so many different... Right, because it's just so many things that you can... just so many different things and different ways you can do with it. You can dress it up, dress it down, do it in, do it out. It's just so many different things and ways you can enjoy it, you know, until I really don't think that's a reason to break up. Because sometimes you can turn bad sex into good sex. You just have to work at it.
I often say that I feel sex is that one area that you can definitely work to accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And each party may have to make adjustments because you have to find your happy medium. And you have to find what works for you all and this, that, and the other. But I know one of the things that I think could be part of the problem in that whole scheme of thing is, I'm not going to say honesty. In some cases, it's honesty. But in some cases, it's being forthcoming. You know,
right.
Some men define themselves through their prowess. What's the word? I never say that word right. Prowess, whatever. And so it's almost like, is that the only thing that makes you a man?
Yeah. Well, some
and
men
if you
think
ask
from
the
head.
Man, that the answer is yes.
Right. But those are men who think from their second head, that little head. They had two heads, a big head and a little head. And when they start looking from that little head, you know, the thoughts are little too. I mean, that's what happens. They actually think, you know, because you have men out here that think that they're God's gift to women. And they might be to some of them women that's out there that accept them. You know,
yeah.
But when a man starts thinking from that little head, that's dangerous. And something else that will cause men to, something that interferes with their sex, like obesity.
Definitely.
Yeah, if a man is
big. Yeah,
interferes
with a woman, too.
Yeah. Yes,
this
one
lady said to me, I mean, it was wrong and it was right and it was funny at the same time. She said, what the hell I want with a fat ass man? I'm fat. We can't be the
That's true, because I'm a big girl too, and I don't want no big man. I don't want no, don't give me, I just don't, what's the point? his stomach be all in my way, my stomach being, well, I don't have a big stomach, but, you know, it's just the point. I just don't, and then bigger man's, I just don't want no big man. Now, if he's big and
that
muscular.
Part. Yeah, I know the other part just getting ready to say, too.
What?
Well, bigger men, they say that a bigger man, for every, what is it, 10 pounds he lose, he can almost gain a half an inch or something like that. Because the bigger your stomach gets and the bigger that for a man, it distracts from the size of his penis.
Yep.
Because his body adjusts to accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And smoking.
Smoking
damage.
Recently, I started looking into smoking recently, and I did not know the cause of the things that smoking caused, or the things that lack of sleep caused, and it's scary what those two things can do to our body.
Right, because smoking damages the blood vessels, and it also accelerates arterial narrowing, meaning that your arteries narrow. So that means that there's no oxygen getting in there, and the blood flow is limited.
Compromised.
So,
right.
Right. So getting to the penis, wow, it may not never get there. You know, the smoking, and a lot of guys don't realize that the smoking has something to do with you have an erectile dysfunction.
Now, premature ejaculation, does that fall in the erectile dysfunction category as well?
Premature ejaculation, I don't think it does because that's something different. You still, it's just the point of, because it was just like, okay. The very first time we had sex, I was just so elated, so happy and all this and that, right? So as soon as he put it in, he came. So I said to myself, well, okay, maybe he was really excited, you know, so let that go. So the second time, the same thing happened. I said, oh, no, he's suffering from premature ejaculation. And I told him, I said, you know what? And then he had the audacity. Now just imagine, as soon as he put it in, maybe did about two or three humps, and he came. He had the audacity to ask me, did I come? I wanted to hit him in his throat with a stiletto. Did I come where?
I'm
serious. It was about two or three humps. And he came.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Somebody has given, you know what, that's what happens when these women be out here lying to these men.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Somebody stroked his ego.
Told him how good he was.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I sure did. I'm not gonna lie. When it's not good, I'm going to let somebody know. You know, now I have faked orgasms before. But, honey, if you're not satisfying me, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know. But, honey, I mean, it was like two or three humps, and that was it. And I said, you finished? I just want to hit him in his throat with a stiletto. I'm serious. And then I had the audacity to let him try it again, because, like I said, I thought maybe he was just, you know, too excited, you know.
Excited, yeah.
Second time, oh, no, 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 baby. Sorry.
I knew of a lady who went on not a blind date, but, you know, once they had met over one of those dating sites.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were out to dinner on their first date, they, you know, everything was going well. She did say he was just too damn excited, And that was kind of irritating a little bit to her, but she was being patient with it. So they decided to go back to her place to have a nightcap or whatever. And he was so frantic and so excited when he stood up, he was completely wet. And she looked at him. She said, "We were going back to have a nightcap. We wasn't going to have no sex." And his face just, I mean, but he was just that excited. And she was like, "Really?" And she ended it there. She was done after that because she said, "I was trying to be patient with him." She saw that. She said, "Oh, hell no, I'm done."
Because it's very frustrating, you know. And then he did no type of compensation. You know, he didn't do nothing but turn over and go to sleep. I said, "Oh, no, this nigga
turned over and went home."
I tell you this much. Like I said, I gave him a second chance because, like, I thought he was very excited. But the second time, I said, "Oh no, no, this is it. You go your way, and I'm gone my way."
He couldn't even use a washcloth. He had to go straight home. I washed up at your house. Don't make me that bad. I know that's right.
Wow.
Well, yeah, premature ejaculation is a problem as well. And there are things that you can do for that. It's not as bad as not getting an erection, because they will get an erection, but it's just they will ejaculate so quick, you know. So there are methods and things you can do for that, you know, like because if you – well, there's things that you can do because you could tell them give them, because I dated this guy one time, and he wasn't really he didn't come really quick as the other guy, but he was like maybe in about 10 minutes. And that wasn't really long enough for me. So, and I told him, I said, "You know what? Stop thinking about having an orgasm so hard." So what I did with him was I told him, I said, "When we're doing it," I said, "Don't even think that we're doing it." I said, "Think about something else." He used to love the go on boats and stuff, right? So I said, "Think about you being on a boat, you know, something like that." And, you know, I would talk to him about the water and stuff like that. And I know it sounds crazy, but I'm just trying to prolong.
Why are you in the hat?
Yes.
Oh,
but
wow.
Eventually, eventually it got to a point where we was doing it from 10 minutes to 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, there are things that you can do to prevent that. You know, you could do like a tease type thing. You know, don't even let them put it in your vagina, but maybe just like rub it on there and, you know, let them just rub it on there and then, you know, withdrawal and, you know, talk to them. And, you know, you just have to sort of like train them. So that's what it happened with me, and that guy went from 10 minutes to 25 minutes, which was good for me, you know. But some of them, they just so quick and want to hurry up and have an orgasm, or just so excited, and, you know, which is really nothing wrong with it. But when you're having that problem of doing it each and every time, something has to be done. So, you know, there are other things that you can do as well, and maybe we'll have another show and we'll talk about the things that you can do to prolong sex between you and your partner if he suffers from premature ejaculation.
Okay.
We'll do a show on that. So that's that in a nutshell. I said in a nutshell. Yeah, so if anybody's having any problems with ED, men having problems with ED, try not to use such things that are going to cause more problems with, as far as like Viagra, because Viagra was a medication that they was using for, I think, high blood pressure or something they was using it for, and then they discovered that it causes the penis to, you know, get an erection. So, you know, they use it for one thing, then another, then it causes other problems. Cialis, all those things cause problems. So if you could get your partner maybe to massage it or, you know, use a strap-on or oral or whatever, you know, go that route. And, you know, don't, you know, it's really about communication. You know, just communicate, let your partner know. And women, you know, when you going through your little mood swings and hot flashes, and, you know, let your man know that this is a part of life, honey, and you took me, you got to take this too. You know, men, they go through the old, what do you call it, midlife crises?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they be going mm-hmm. through some things too, you know, so, but we get it the worst, I believe, you know, but, just be patient with your partner and, you know, keep loving them. And if you need aids or something to bring into the bedroom, you know, do that. But, you know, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on loving your partner. Keep on being there for them. Because in the long run, that's what it's all about. That's
so true.
All about.
So make sure communication is definitely the key in all of this, because, you know, everybody needs to be honest with each other. And communication, you don't have to be mean about it, but I think most of the problem is lack of communication. And I think if each and everyone would talk to their partner and be honest with it, you know, you could come up with a strategy and you can, you know, you can help your partner out, because, again, he or she may not know the other knowledge that you may know to help them out. So if you talk about it, maybe somebody can work with you. But if you, you know, keep going on with your ego and let pride get in the way, well, I guess you'll be sitting there for a long time trying to beat your dick, because you lack of communication. I mean, I think that would be
that
the most important factor of this whole show, would be the most is communication.
That
I
is
agree.
True. That is so true. There's nothing wrong with communication. That's about 80% of a relationship anyway is communication, because if you got communication, you know you can get basically what you want. So
exactly.
Keep them communication lines open and talk about it. And sometimes you might have to even pray on it, but, you know, just keep them communication lines open and stay in that relationship and, you know, keep loving your partner, because we promote love over on here on Bringing Sexy Back.
Oh, that's right. All day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we do. So with that being said, I thank you ladies for co-hosting with me tonight. I thank everybody who was in the chat room, Miss Kane and a guest, and someone else was in there. But I appreciate everybody who came out and listened to Bringing Sexy Back. And if you learned something, that's good. And if you didn't, well, maybe you know it all, and if you know it, then maybe you should have called up and shared with us. You know, don't if you got some knowledge, just come on and share it. Don't be scared. We don't bite over here. We try to educate and learn things over here, you know. So with that being said, you girls have a nice weekend. This weekend, the book fair is this weekend. That's what I'll be doing over in Southeast Washington, D.C., everybody's welcome to come out and support this event, because it's free. And, you know, just come out and get some books. I have all my books except for one. That's my book of delicious erotic short stories. But, you know, come on out and support a sister. Okay. So everybody have a good night. You ladies have any closing remarks?
No.
Okay. Well, see you girls next Wednesday. And if anybody's out there have a topic, drop me an email at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. And also, if you have a generator you want to donate, send me an email with that too. I'm serious. I ain't joking. I'm serious as cancer. But that's about it. So everybody have a good night, and see you guys next Wednesday. Good night,
okay,
Gail. Good night, Danny.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, Danny. Good night, Gail.
Good night, Rhea. Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
destroyed.